Let's get right to it, Donnie. No more beating around the bush. Limits you too. Let's get some scores and some winners here. 412-928-9370. Scores and winners. Ohio State, Penn State.
Ohio State 21, Penn State 19. Nittany Lions are going to cover, but another disappointment for James Franklin. I can't pick him to win a big game of this caliber. Can't do it.
Man, am I wavering. And I just said there's no more wavering. Against my better judgment, and we were just talking during the break, and welcome, by the way, to a Donnie Football Friday. We're focusing a little more on the colleges this week because no Steelers and because big games. I don't think Ohio's... What am I talking about? They just played Oregon head-to-head. They should have beaten Oregon.
Yeah, and they should have lost to Nebraska at home last week.
Good point by him, right, Donnie? If the kid doesn't slide at the end of the Oregon game, what is he doing, by the way? They probably win that game. But overall, you're right. You're right. This is not as powerful a version of Ohio State as we've seen in the past. I think their quarterback is sort of Kyle McCord-like. Not from the Pitt game, don't get me wrong. But just sort of, he's okay to good, you know? Not great. Not a great college quarterback, and I believe in Drew Aller. I do. I pegged him as a 5 out of 5 confidence-wise earlier today. I'm going with Penn State. Better team, better quarterback, playing at home. I'm not going to waver on that. I'm going with Penn State 24-16.
Wow, 8-point win.
We know who Limits is taking.
We know who Limits is taking. Go ahead.
And my math sucks. 24-18 is 6 points.
No, I said 24-16.
Oh.
Yeah, you had it right.
I wrote it wrong.
It's a one-score game.
You know, my gut instinct is usually what I always go with. And my gut is telling me exactly what Donnie is saying. James Franklin is 1-9 against Penn State. He's like 3-17 against Ohio State and Michigan in his career. Like, it's really, really, really bad. But this is the best team that Penn State has had since 2016 with an opportunity to knock off an Ohio State team that's banged up on the offensive line and just frankly isn't that great on offense other than their young freshman Smith, and I like their running backs. But I think being at home for Penn State is a significant key to this game, and I have the Nittany Lions winning 24-17.
He copied me.
No, I had my pick from 3 hours ago. I wrote on the graphic.
I know. All right, the Pitt game, Donnie. You're up.
See, I had more trouble with this one, thinking that Pitt as a basically a touchdown underdog going into SMU, and this is that test that everybody, that all the doubters have been waiting for. When's Pitt going to play somebody for real? When is Pitt going to finally put their stamp on what their record looks like? You know what? I think it actually happens. I think they actually get the job done. We had Nick Costos on an hour ago. He said this is one of those classic Narduzzi underdog situations. They go on the road relatively late in the season, regardless of record. Pitt, a touchdown-plus underdog, and they play up, and they win the damn game outright. I think they're going to do it. I think Eli Holstein, I put him at, what, a 4 confidence level, I think?
Yeah.
I think he gets out of his little funk, and I think Pitt wins the game 27-24.
Man,
8-0, baby.
I keep coming back to Vegas. What do they know that we don't, Donnie? What's happening? Pitt's the higher-ranked team, and they're a 7.5-point underdog, or they were. I guess it's up to 7, or down to 7. Nick Costos, yeah, he told us the money's coming in on Pitt. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of SMU, but I look at the numbers. The little clips I have seen of that quarterback tells me he gets things done on the ground as well, Jennings. They have a ton of interceptions on defense. They can run. They're at home. I'm going with SMU in this game, and I think it's going to be a very exciting, fun game to watch. I'm going with SMU 34-33 with a field goal at the buzzer. Wonder Twin?
Oh, my gosh. I could see it being the complete opposite way in a Ben Sauls field goal at the buzzer. He's the best kicker in all of college football. You know, maybe it's, you can call me a homer. You can call me whatever you want to call me.
Homer.
Biased. You can say, well, Austin, I can't believe you're picking both teams.
Eli Hallstein is going to have a great game.
But those five turnovers from SMU last week, I took note of that. And they looked very vulnerable. And everything that I said about primetime game being at home, it's a big deal. Like I said, in terms of Penn State being at home against Ohio State, if it was primetime, I think applies here for SMU. But the way that Pitt's defense is really emerging over the last couple of weeks, that's what gives me more confidence to pick the Panthers 35-28 in a shootout beating SMU, and the dream stays alive with the most vulnerability of any weeks where one of these teams could fall. I think it continues, and we're down for a photo finish.
All right, then let's get to the big picture questions. I have rapid-fire questions for you. All I want is one-word answers. Penn State still makes the playoff if they lose.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ohio State still makes the playoffs if they lose.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Pitt has zero chance to make the playoff if they lose.
No.
They have somewhat of a chance.
Yes.
No, they would still have a chance. If they beat Clemson, yes, it goes up significantly.
Tell me more about that. I'm confused here, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, even though this is my business. I've been reading about this and looking at it. Who gets to the ACC title game? Because teams are going to have the same records. So what are the tiebreakers?
So the first tiebreaker...
Let's say Pitt wins this game but loses to Clemson in a great game. Then let's say Miami has one loss. Who gets to that game?
The first tiebreaker they use is head-to-head competition.
Not going to be applicable, likely.
The second one is winning percentage against common opponents.
Okay.
Which is probably where they would weed it out and find it. After that, it is team rating score. The team with the higher ranking and team rating score gets the nod there.
Well, does Miami play SMU or Clemson? No, they don't. So you might not even get there with... Are you going to get there with the common opponent thing? Because everybody will have beaten all the other teams. What's the third one?
That is the team rating score.
What the hell is that?
Got to figure out how that even gets counted.
No, forget it. It's just who is generally, like, by a computer's analysis, the better team?
I think that's what it would be.
Because we might get there. Because there's not common opponents that one would have won and one would have lost to that I can see. Donnie?
Oh, I'm looking at college football team ratings are calculated using a variety of methods. Okay, so here's what they go with here.
I don't care. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Very quickly.
Power ratings.
Yeah.
Predictive ratings.
Yeah.
The Massey Peabody rankings.
Yeah, and then very familiar with that one.
The ESPN Football Power Index.
Can you get Massey or Peabody on the show limits, perhaps?
Maybe we could try. You could always say hello.
This is going to get more complicated than we think. And we're all going to be up in arms like we are when Pitt basketball missed the NCAA tournament. I think if Pitt loses this game, its chances go down to like 1% myself. But yes, you're saying there's a chance. There would be a chance.
Greater than zero.
All right. Next question. And this one we can dive into a little bit more. Donnie, you said earlier that that Pitt has already cleared the bar. That this is already a successful season for Pitt. Would you like to take back that statement or defend it?
No, I would stick with it.
So if they lose out and go 7-5, you're happy.
If you're asking coming into the season what the expectation was for Pitt football.
I'm not. I'm asking what's the bar right now for Pitt football. What is the bar? Good season or not? Satisfactory or not?
Well, I would say if you change it now, it's going to be 10 wins. It's going to be beat the bad teams of the ACC you have left, and then you lose to Clemson and SMU.
You got to win games. 10. I think, to even have a conversation about whether this was a good Pitt season. I think. I hear what you're saying. Maybe people agree. You're basing everything on, I thought they were going to be a 500 team or worse coming in. They've already exceeded it. Therefore, it's already a successful season. I just think the bar changes when you go 7-0. And like if they lost out and went 7-5, to me, that's a disaster right now. They need to win 10. And I'm always, and I'm guilty of it, I think myself, getting sucked into low expectations for Pitt. Why? Why can't we come out and say playoff or bust? Get in the playoff.
I think that's hard for a lot of people to say after your team goes 3-9, regardless of how many things change.
Yeah.
Your team goes 3-9. I don't think there was even the most loyal Pitt fan out there thinking, we're going to go to the college football playoff next year.
They hadn't seen Eli Holstein. But I talked to people 2 months before the season who are supposed to be in the know telling me that Yarnell's going to be the quarterback. They don't like Holstein that much. So to me, college football, 1 year to the next, It doesn't matter in basketball either. These are like fantasy drafts every year. See how many guys for SMU are transfers? Their whole team. Most of their best players. So last year, it has nothing to do with next year, to me anymore, in college sports. Because all the coaches and teams basically have a fantasy draft out of the transfer portal. Whole new team. And when you start 7-0, why can't we come out and say playoffs or bust? We're saying for Penn State, win at least a playoff game or bust. We can't say for Pitt, at least get there or bust?
Well, Penn State's been in basically the same spot for what feels like a decade. You could almost, for a decade on your calendar, you could pretty much pinpoint, they'll go 10-2. They'll beat all the teams that aren't Ohio State or Michigan. I know they're not playing Michigan this year, but you get my point. Like they're gonna win 10 games and they're gonna lose their two toughest ones, and that'll be that. And they'll miss out on the playoff. They'll finish like eighth in the rankings. They'll still get a New Year's Six Bowl. You could pretty much set your clock to it every single year. So that's why I do think it's a little bit more fair, even with the turnover in college football from year to year. It is more fair to have the expectation for Penn State, like, hey, now you finally got to get in for one, which is a little bit easier now. So get in and win a game.
Twinning streak?
I think the expectations have significantly changed. And I understand the whole three wins thing, but, I mean, you have Eli Holstein now. Why not just try to... I mean, we talked about this a little bit with the Pirates when they got Paul Skeens. You have somebody who has changed everything in terms of the total landscape of what you think you can do. And the energy that he's brought. Eli Holstein, I think, has brought a similar thing, a similar energy and momentum to Pitt football. I mean, it's why they're undefeated. It's why they're 7-0. So why look back at this point? Move ahead. And I think that they need to make the playoffs because of where they are right now. And I think if they beat Clemson at home, that's such a substantial top 10 win that they still could get in because Miami could slip up. But no, the expectation should be to make the playoffs.
412-928-9370. You want to weigh in on any and all of that? Let's go to the lines.
We have Brandon in Plum that wants to talk about Pitt.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got to agree with Donnie. If you would have asked me how I felt about Pitt preseason, I mean, I think their preseason win total was like 5.
Yeah, it was 5.5.
Yeah, the bar has definitely moved. I mean, for me, I think if they beat either SMU or Clemson, that'd be a successful year for me. Beating both is going to be... it's going to be tough. SMU is going to be a real test. But, I mean, I'm pleased that they're at right now. Holstein looks like a wagon. So, you know, I'm pretty happy about where they're at so far.
Thank you, sir. I just marvel, I think, sometimes at, for a coach who came in talking about winning state titles against Penn State and national championships, how easy it is for the bar to get so low around Pitt football. That's my thought. Like, it's so different with Pitt and Penn State. Why? Pitt's 7-0 now. They're sitting here at 7-0. They're undefeated just like Penn State. They have a big-time quarterback, allegedly, who was recruited by Alabama. They just beat the living poo out of Kyle McCord, who some thought was a Heisman Trophy candidate. Like, why can't we raise the bar? Why not with Pitt?
I mean, you can, which you're clearly doing. I just think it's hard to have people go from, okay, what was the expectation on September 1 compared to November 1? And now, oh, look at that, we're 7-0. now we should be talking about this team has to get to the college football playoff or it's a failure. I don't really think that's fair either. Like, we came into this season thinking, oh, I hope this team gets back to bowl eligibility, and now I'm telling myself if they don't get to the college football playoff, it's a failure?
Yes, because you're talking about it in terms of a program. Like, that actually exists anymore in college football. I'm talking about it in terms of you got this year. You have this year. I have no idea what the landscape's going to look like. Is Holstein going to be here next year?
No idea.
Me neither. So you get this year with that guy and this team. So let's hold Pitt to a standard here.
Well,
it doesn't mean people need to be fired if they don't make the playoff. It'll still be a good year if they go 10-2. That'll be a good year. You can't complain about 10 wins. But I still think it would be also, at the same time, really disappointing to start 7-0 and have it all in front of you, including a home game coming up against Clemson, and not get there.
And I feel like, knowing a lot of Pitt fans, going to a lot of Pitt games, there's just a skepticism, guys, that other than the 2021 season, that Pitt will get over the top. Like, everybody, oh, will Pitt hit this game away again? And, oh, can the Panthers really do it? Like, can they really get over the hump? There's that internal just defeatist mindset, I think, from some Pitt people, that they don't think that the Panthers can get over the hump, because will it be the same old Pitt story? They just want to see it happen.